Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Rachel, Monica, Phoebe, Ross, Chandler, and Joey. If these names ring a bell, then you are in for a treat. Friends premiered in 1994 and ran for 10 seasons. It is one of the most iconic and influential sitcoms from the 20th century.
In today's episode, we will be discussing why Friends is one of the best TV shows to learn English with. Plus, you will learn some great vocabulary with us.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Cassay from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
marvelous
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're driving to work, sunbathing, or
thinking about what to watch on the weekend.
All right, so I'm joined in the global studio today by the one and only Thiago.
Hey, Kase. Hey, guys. How's it going?
We also have Izzy with us today. You guys might remember him from a podcast we did a little while back. Hey, Izzy.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
It's always good to have more of us in the global studio. It's always more fun, I think. Thiago, you mentioned a very interesting phrase. You used the phrase ring a bell. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's an idiom, an expression that means when something sounds familiar to you, if it makes you remember something. So I started today by saying the names of the main characters, right? So do they sound familiar to you? In other words, does it ring a bell? Yeah, so that's a nice expression.
I wonder, like, where it comes from.
I was thinking it, like, comes from, like, you know, when you ring a bell, it gets your attention, right? Like, I think a lot of, like, in meditation, in churches, some religious practices also use it to sort of bring people back to attention. So I think, like, when something rings a bell, it's like, ah, yeah, it clicks. Something clicks. It's like, ah, yes, that. You also used another phrase, though, Thiago. You said, you're in for a treat. That sounds tasty. What does it mean?
Yeah, Izzy, do you want to take that one? What does it mean to be in for a treat?
Yeah, so basically, like, if you're invited to an event or you're just about to start doing something and somebody tells you that you're in for a treat, they are expecting you to have a lot of fun or to just enjoy the process of doing that a lot, right? So we could say that the listener, you listening to us right now, you're in for a treat because This is going to be a lot of fun talking about Friends. One of my favorite shows, actually, I should say it's my favorite show and the one that I used to learn English with. So, yeah, you're in for a treat here listening to us.
I also think that the listeners would be quite interested to know what a sitcom is. What is a sitcom?
Yeah, that's short for situation comedy. And it's a genre of TV series that is comedy. Right? So all those funny ones that you see, like Friends, we're going to be talking about it today, but also Two and a Half Men, The Big Bang Theory, How I Met Your Mother. These are examples of sitcoms, yeah? The type of series.
So Izzy, you just mentioned that you started learning English while watching sitcoms, right? And specifically Friends. Can you tell me what made you decide to do this? Why did you enjoy it so much?
I think Friends has always been really popular in Brazil. And so that's a reason why most people, I guess, start watching because their friends are watching the TV series Friends and they just want to know what it's all about. But then as soon as you start watching, you actually stay, not just because of the buzz, but because it is so good. So most people start watching for that reason. But the reason why you stay watching, I think it's because of the characters. They're really well built. It's a lot of fun to see their personalities and you just really buy into their personalities, I guess. Like it's just like you feel like you're one of them, or you see friends that you have, they're like some other character, and you make that relation, you know, start to see your real life in the show.
Yeah, for me, it was very similar because the characters are super relatable. right? And the cool thing about Friends is that there are six friends, right? Or six main characters. So you are guaranteed to find one or two at least that you identify with, you know, that resonates with you. So yeah, just like Izzy said, you either see yourself in some of them or your friends, and the situations that these characters experience is just, you know, they are hilarious, right? So yeah, it's a fun show.
Yeah, they're really charismatic, right? You could also say.
Yeah, very.
What does it mean to be charismatic, actually, Kase?
Charismatic means to have charisma, which in essence means something or someone who has special traits that are quite attractive and that interest other people. So in terms of the characters' personalities, they all have quite different personalities, but it's different in a way that is quite charming and, you know, makes you want to understand them better and know them more. So it's really just very fascinating and interesting and makes you like it, very likable.
It's a perfect way to put it, yeah.
So we've been talking about these characters, and I'm so curious to know, Izzy, who is your favorite character and why?
Okay, Tiago's probably going to hate me for this, for taking Chandler first.
Oh, man, come on. That's my character. But no, he can be your favorite character, too. You know, it's fine.
Obviously, his sarcasm, his sense of humor. But I think not just that. I think the way he delivers his lines in general, not just the funny ones, it's just full of emotions. Even though a lot of times in the series, he'd be treated as the guy who maybe doesn't show so many emotions, but he's very compelling in the way he just like shares his feelings and thoughts.
Tiago, how about you? Who's your favorite character and why?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Chandler, just like Izzy. And the same reason, I love his sarcasm. And I love the fact that he always has something to say. You know, it doesn't matter what happens or what comment someone makes, he always has a comeback, you know, always a remark. Mm-hmm. And his remarks are usually funny and witty. That's what I like about him because, you know, I am not that type of person, you know. I'm not that sarcastic or witty. So I appreciate people who can be like that. Not for the sake of being funny or sarcastic, but more, I think the witty quality, yeah, the witty side that Chandler has, I love it, yeah.
Tiago, what does it mean to be a witty person or to make a witty remark?
Yeah, a remark is a comment, an observation, yeah? So if something happens and you make a comment on it, we can call it a remark. But witty means someone who is funny, but in a clever way, in a smart way. Because, you know, we have, let's say, silly, stupid kind of humor, right? But we also have witty kind of humor, which is, you know, really clever. You know, it's that kind of joke or comment that when you hear someone making, you go, wow, I mean, I never thought of that. Yeah, that is funny. You know, something that catches you by surprise and it's clever. Yeah, that's witty.
Mm-hmm, right.
What about you, Kase?
All right. So in my case, I would say that my favorite character is Phoebe. I like her because she's a bit of a wild card. And by wild card, we describe someone as a wild card when they are somewhat unpredictable. Not necessarily in their actions, because she's, you know, she is who she is, but she always has something unexpected. Like, it catches you by surprise. Like, it's always, like, quirky and eccentric. I think that's a way to describe her character. Like, a little bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
But in a, like, she's a wild card character because she's a little bit unpredictable. Because you kind of don't know how Phoebe will react or what she will say. Because sometimes she's, like, really smart and wise. And sometimes she's really, like, goofy and... Yeah, so I really like this about her. I think she's quite dynamic. And I think she's also an example of someone who, if you really watch the show and you follow the characters, you'll see that she's not had an easy life. Like, I think she lived on the streets at one point and she lived in her car.
Yeah.
And, you know, she lost her mom and she had quite a tough life. And, you know, for a comedy, it's like, whoa, you know, like this character's been through so much, but she's never negative. Like, everything is quite light with her. And I like that about her.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you've had a tough life or you're going through some hardships, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to be a negative person. So I like that about her character.
That's true. By the way, Casa, you mentioned hardships. What's that?
Yeah, hardships are struggles or difficulties that you face in your life. So this could be, you know, hardships could be challenges like maybe financial, or, you know, maybe losing a job, or, you know, things like that. But it could also be deeper, like, you know, related to your family, or, you know, personal issues that you have with your health or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Normally it comes accompanied by a phrase or verb, for example, like going through hardship or financial hardship. So going through, I'd say, right, it's a very common phrase or verb.
Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.reallifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today, and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Ah, yeah.
Okay, guys, so I think the main question or the main topic for today, let's just dive right into it, which is, what is Friends about, and why is it the best TV series to learn English?
Yeah, so we've listed here some reasons today to talk about, and I guess the very first one is about the concept, right? It has the perfect setup, the perfect concept, because it's a sitcom, yeah? And if you are an English learner, really starting by watching sitcoms or comedy series can help you a lot, because it shows the characters in everyday situations. What would you guys say about that?
Yeah, I agree with this so much, because I feel like with Friends, you know, as we've spoken about, you know, pre-recording, Friends being a comedy, it's really light. And this is what makes sitcoms so awesome to learn English, because you're not learning vocabulary that you won't use in your everyday life. It's vocabulary that you can use with your friends, vocabulary that you can use in conversations with coworkers or anyone that you encounter in your daily life, compared to, for example, you know, maybe watching dramas or other genres where the vocabulary is a little more heavy. It's not really topics or dialogue that you would use in your regular life.
Yeah, very specific vocab. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's not like Friends doesn't have any drama in it, but it has a lot of ups and downs. So the funny moments do you make for lighter situations where it's just like what we experience in life, you know? And then if it's too dramatic, like action, some, you know, drama series or ones that are more about like action, that's not what life looks like for you. So that's why sitcoms, they really do a well representation of real life in that sense. And also I think the name itself, like sitcom, means situation comedy. So it tries to recreate situations where you can really relate to. So it's not just like randomly achieving that. It has the purpose. It's created with the purpose of making you feel like, oh, that could really happen to me. And in these situations, you see how characters react. And in the case of learning a language, you see how they, what types of sentences what words would they use to react to that situation or to that type of question, for example. So it really has that effect.
Cool. By the way, Izzy, you mentioned ups and downs. What does that mean?
Ups and downs. So it's basically good and bad situations. In general, when people say the ups and downs, referring to somebody's history or what they will experience, what they'll face, it's just saying that there will be good moments and bad moments and then good moments again and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to see Friends as like level one when it comes to TV shows. You know, if you don't have the habit of watching series yet to practice your English, Friends is like, you know, level one. You know, just start with it. You know, you're going to learn a lot. And, you know, then later when you become more advanced, you can jump into maybe more drama series or more specific series like Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad for English learning, I mean, you know. But yeah, Friends mm-hmm. is so, let's say, English learning friendly. Right. And we're going to be discussing here some reasons why we think that is. Yeah. But yeah, it's an amazing show.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's actually quite funny because I feel like when you exactly what you're saying, like when you have beginner level English learners, they tend to watch Friends as like the, you know, the start of their journey at the start of their journey. And some of them feel like, you know, I want to be able to watch other shows. You know, I can watch Friends, but I want to be able to understand, you know, maybe Stranger Things or something mm-hmm. a little bit more complex. So it's quite funny because there's no rush. Like, this is actually the foundation. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of show that you need to be watching so that you're able to not only, you know, be able to understand and listen, but also be able to speak, because exactly what Chiago just mentioned, it's the vocabulary that they use that you're going to be using in your daily life as well. So no rush, like watch it again, watch that episode like 50 times if you have to.
And I like the fact that you use the word foundation, because I do see Friends as a foundational series, mm-hmm. you know, for every English learner. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think by that, we mentioned here how it's a really basic level, but I wouldn't say it's just basic level. To this day, I still watch Friends and learn something new. So even if you're an advanced level learner, you will definitely learn new things from it. It's just the vocabulary that you perceive, or maybe the aspects of the show and the language used in it that you will notice is going to be different depending on the level that you're at. And that's also what makes Friends really great. It's just because some shows, they're more useful for advanced learners, but Friends is useful for all levels. And I think that's what Tiago also meant by saying it's like really basic level, is that it includes all levels.
Yeah, it's a show that is easy to digest. Let's put it this way. You know, it's easy to digest. Yeah. Then maybe, I don't know, House, you know?
Yeah.
And also, I'd say that there's no low points in the episodes if you're using it to learn English. Every single scene, you'll find something to learn. Different from other shows where you'd have maybe action or maybe parts where you're just like not learning anything. In Friends, it's just like it's 20 minutes per episode and it's just like completely packed full of vocabulary, connected speech, culture that you can learn.
Yeah, true.
Not only that, but Friends has also influenced the way that Americans and other English speakers speak. And much of this is related to casual slang and discourse markers that are used in the show.
Yeah, I totally agree. And just to explain here what slang means, slang is vocabulary, words and expressions that, let's say, don't exist in traditional grammar books, you know, but that are commonly used in conversation in everyday life. You know, so by watching Friends, you get to learn a lot of those types of vocabulary, you know, slang. And Kase, you also mentioned discourse markers. Do you want to explain that one? What is a discourse marker?
Sure. So discourse markers are words like, well, so, in fact, right, and okay. We usually use them at the beginning or at the end of a sentence. And it doesn't really have a particular meaning, but it's more of like a tool to show like the flow or the direction of the conversation. So it could, for example, if I want to change the topic or if I want to maybe show interest in what you're saying, I would go, right. I'm not really saying right, you know, I'm not really saying anything, but I'm showing agreement by using this particular word. Or for example, if I want to change the topic, I could say, oh, so you know, so blah, blah, blah. So I was thinking that, la, 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 la. You know, so we use these words for a particular purpose, but they don't actually in them, you know, on their own, they don't actually mean anything. They don't add any particular meaning to the sentence. They're more like tools for directing the flow of the conversation. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess like when they start a sentence, a lot of times they're just helping you gain, just have more time, you know, to just structure your sentence. Or if it happens in the middle of the sentence too, like the word like, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. very common. Now I think among not just Americans, but all English, you can use the word like. Can you give me an example, Tiago?
Oh, I don't know. Like, we are here recording this podcast episode and, you know, talking about, like, friends.
Yeah. So maybe, I think it's been overused in the past, like, 10 years. But it's definitely a tool that you can use for pacing your speech. And you can use all of these words, like, so as well, to when you're starting a sentence. So it's not so abrupt. Because if you're going to given like an argument or something, you're having a discussion, if you start just immediately from what you want to say, maybe that's all, not going to be perceived as polite even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say that you made a sound that is also a bit of a discourse marker. Like we go, and it has become sort of a part of natural conversation too. We use that, as you said, to sort of add like a pause mm-hmm. or give you that moment to think about what's coming next. And it also, I think I've read in communication studies as well, that it helps hook the other person. It helps because you're holding their attention. So you go like, well, and mm-hmm. obviously you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't overuse it. You shouldn't do it at the wrong time. You should know when to use it. But it really is a helpful way of holding someone's attention.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason why we are talking about discourse markers and slang is because you get to learn a lot of those by watching Friends. I think that if you are looking to develop your conversational skills and also your listening abilities, this is an excellent show for you to, you know, to have as your ally, as your friend, you know. And not to mention the pronunciation, right, guys? The connected speech and pronunciation that we learn by watching Friends is staggering, right? What would you say about Friends and connected speech?
Yeah, the show is full of connected speech. I think every scene you'll hear at least one case of a very clear American connected speech, because the show is set in New York. So there's actually even New York accent. Some of the characters, like Joey, has a New Yorker accent, and you'll hear very common sounds in American accent, such as the flap T, and connected to, for example, a word like you, it would become wadia. What do you mm-hmm. evolves with connected speech to become wadia, and that's very common in, I'd say, in the United States in general. And that's one example. So there's multiple sounds that you learn watching Friends. Do you have any other example of connected speech that you remember from the show, Tiago?
Yeah, yeah. Another one that comes to mind is the reduction of the word to, right? That becomes a, right? Many times, for example, instead of easy to find, you hear easy to find, for example. Yeah. Or of, which becomes a, right? Like think of that, think of that. Think of, right? Think of that.
Kase, you mentioned how the show has influenced how Americans speak and also how British people speak. And one example that I can think of is the word so as an emphasizer. So, for example, this is so beautiful, right? Or this is so amazing. So everyone started to say that after season one, season two. It just like it was common in regular American speech to just say so as an emphasizer. Just as you would say the word very. And in British English, it was even more uncommon before the show to hear that use of the word so, but it became just as popular, especially among younger people.
Yeah, we can say that it caught on, right? Using so in a phrase like that to emphasize caught on or became popular. Even using the word multiple times in a sentence, right? For example, I'm so, so sorry. Yeah, that became really popular because of Friends.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So speaking of Friends, Izzy has something special for you guys today.
Yeah, so this week we're celebrating our 10th anniversary here at Real Life English. So the company is celebrating 10 years of existence. And it's been just an amazing journey for our team to be able to help millions of learners, just like you who are listening to us right now, to help you learn the real English that you can actually use to help you improve your life and connect to the world. And to celebrate and thank you for all of your support over all of these years, we have a super special gift to offer you. If you want to become a confident, natural English speaker, we are giving, just for the next few days, a 51% discount on our most popular course, Fluent with Friends. So you can take advantage of all of these things that we've been discussing here, but make progress even more quickly and also get our support of our team in the process with this course that covers the first two seasons of Friends. Also, we're giving a bonus to our students who join us during a sale. We're doing 4 live lessons that will be given by Kasey, Ethan, and our team of experienced fluency coaches, including Tiago as well, to help you quickly make progress to speak and understand fast speech. So to learn more and sign up, go to reallifeglobal.com/FWF. That is reallifeglobal.com/FWF. And you'll be able to learn all about the course and also the live lessons that we'll give. And you should use the coupon code RLE10 at checkout to get the 51% discount and access to these live lessons that I just mentioned.
Oh, that's really awesome, guys. Yeah. You don't want to miss out on this. This is really a fantastic deal.
Yeah, guys, 51% discount. It's now or never.
So now we'll get into the third and probably my most favorite reason to learn English with friends, which is that it has had a huge cultural impact on, you know, how we use English that continues even today. I mean, the show is pretty old, but we still use some of those references today. And most Americans have seen at least a few episodes of the series. And even those who haven't will recognize different Friends-related pop culture. I know people who don't even watch, who have never seen a single episode, and even they know some of these references. For example, one of my favorites is being on a break, you know, like, you know, the fact that, you know, Rachel and Ross were on a break. So they'll use this reference even without, you know, understanding the context of the show. But that is just how impactful, you know, the show has been in terms of, you know, cultural influence.
Another example could be Phoebe's hit song, right? Smelly Cat. You know, Smelly Cat, Smelly Cat. Yeah. Know, popular culture, you know, it's become part of popular pop culture, right? So
yeah, and it's influenced behavior in general, even really subtle things like inviting your friends to go to cafe, even though it's always been something popular, but it became even more popular and like a trend. You saw like a lot more cafes open after all those seasons of Friends. They were also influenced by the style of the cafe that's in the show, that's the Central Perk. So all of that. And then other things too, talking wardrobe, like the way people will dress and haircut. There's the famous The Rachel. I don't know if you've never seen this or if you think they've never seen this, look it up, Google it, The Rachel. And you see it was very popular in the 90s. It's a very specific style of like a haircut.
Yeah, I think Friends is one of those iconic series that, you know, you just have to know about, you know. For example, I think that there are certain movies and series that you just have to know about, like, you know, Star Wars, for example, you know, or Breaking Bad. You know, these are things that you have to know about. Friends, I think I would put it up there, you know, in that category.
All right, guys, so let's jump right into a very special shout out from one of our app users, Mary, who says, "It was quite a learning experience. It helps me to understand those new words that I heard. I enjoy the app every now and then really your conversation topics are so interesting. I love to share this app with my children for them to learn as well and how to understand and speak English clearly. I'm hoping that the next few podcast topics will improve my knowledge and speaking without translating in my mind. may a lot of people who also want to learn English easily see or check your app. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Really fantastic. Thank you for that great review, Mary. Guys, if you also want us to shout you out on the next podcast episode, just head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. This will help others learn English with us as well. All right, so I know that both of you have learned English using this series. So, Izzy, tell me what your personal experience has been with friends in terms of, like, your method. I would love to know if you could share some of those awesome tips with our listeners today.
Okay, so to me, it was just about having fun in the beginning. So I was just getting home from school and watching 1, 2, 3 episodes of Friends and just having fun. I was not worried about what I would learn, but because I was curious enough, you know, to ask myself, okay, what did that character say? I would pause and then look it up. And in the process of doing this, every now and then, I just became more and more interested in the language that was being used in the show. And then at some point, I started to watch the show with English subtitles. And that's when it really started to the pace of the learning, the pacing picked up. And it was just like, I was stopping every single sentence to look up that phrasal verb or the vocabulary that they're using.
How about you, Thiago?
Yeah, what Izzy is saying is very true, guys, because I think it's important to differentiate passive practice and active practice, right? It's okay for you sometimes to just sit down and watch the show for fun. You know, you want to relax, want to have a good time. Just put it in English, right? Watch it in English, but just enjoy it. I enjoy the episode, the story, what's happening there. This is more passive practice, I would say. But it's also important that you do what Izzy did, started doing, right? Which is taking notes, right? And pausing. Because when you take notes and pause and really think about the language that is being used there, we can call it more active type of practice. So, you know, I would say my tip would be balance these two approaches. You know, sometimes you can just watch the series in English, of course, but to have fun, to enjoy yourself. But other times, make sure you are a little bit more deliberate with it, you know, and you pause, you go back, listen again, repeat, take notes, because that's going to be really beneficial for your English.
Yeah, that's an amazing tip. I just want to share one thing that one of my students mentioned to me. This is a student who absolutely loves watching Friends to improve his vocabulary. And what he does is, I think I mentioned to you guys previously, but I think this is a really great way as well. So he watches it and he listens to the laugh track. The laugh track is the sequence of like laughter. When someone makes a joke, it indicates whether it's a joke or not. Or it also indicates, you know, when something is sad or shocking, because you'll hear the audience basically have a reaction to that moment within the show. And he uses this as a key to understand the context. So he might watch it and he might not understand that the situation is funny, but this gives him an indicator as to, you know, what he should be listening out for. So why is this funny? Why is this shocking? Why? And once you're able to identify those things, you could maybe look it up, go online, check out, you know, this, why is this funny? Or, you know, try and analyze the situation a little bit deeper so that you understand the context as well. So that's just a little tip that I thought I'd share with you guys as well.
That's a good one. Yeah. We did a lesson on learning English with TV series recently, which was understand sarcasm with Chandler. And we talk about that, you know, guys, that Kase is mentioning. Yeah, the laugh, yeah, the background laugh really helps you identify, okay, something funny just happened here. Yeah, so let me go back and try to understand this joke. Yeah, the punchline that we call it, right?
Yeah.
All these tips that we are giving you related to Friends, they comprise the method that was used to create our course, Fluent with Friends. And the cool thing about the course, again, is that you will be guided. You know, you will know exactly what words to focus on, what expressions. So we are helping you out already by giving you half the work, right? Like telling you what to focus on, and then you take it from there. So you're going to have an amazing experience if you take this course.
That's awesome. So if you enjoyed today's episode, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app. And you can also suggest a topic for future episodes. So stay tuned for next week's episode, and we're looking forward to seeing you then. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah!
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.